All right, you're live on the Arms Room Show with Glenn.
Oh my gosh.
Andrew.
All
right. And yeah, as we enter deep into the stages of COVID quarantine, our technology is apparently not wanting to go to work either. This fucking computer wants a goddamn government handout. And I'm sorry. Stimulus. I mean welfare. Oh, I'm sorry. Stimulus. That's what I meant to say.
Why don't you just get a Mac? Life will be so much easier.
I will not give in. I will not give in. Yeah, today our technological troubles were the fact that my computer decided to block my camera access. So that was pretty cool. Yeah, so that was fun. So I had to go deep into the nethers of my computer security settings and find the one option that had magically been checked. I don't mess around in my computer security settings. Whatever. All right, but we're here.
We are.
Finally, so all you live viewers, thanks for hanging in there for an hour and fucking half. And yeah. Instagram folks, thanks for hanging in there. But for all you guys listening afterwards, you don't give a shit what time it is because it's already tomorrow or 3 days from now or a week from now or whatever. So anyways, we're coming to you from the AR500 Armor studio. Thanks to AR500 Armor for still being open enough to allow us to come in and do our thing, even though they're still requiring all their folks to do PPE. Let me see that kiddo. And bring it to me. We have our little guest in the studio with us today who needs some help opening the Gatorade here.
You know, thanks to COVID, daycares and such are closed.
Yep. Oh, good news about COVID. Oh, wait, real quick before we get into that. Thank you also to all of our patrons. Remember, your extra show is either going to be this week or next week, but it will be coming in the first 2 weeks of May, and you guys are going to get your extra show. As usual, go listen to it. Also, make sure that you guys are sending us your show topics. And if you want a really easy way to send us your show topics, on the Instagram for the Arms Room Show, we just put up a story with a question that you can literally just type in your thing and hit send, and it'll get sent to us, and we can get your show ideas. So make sure that you guys are jumping on there. And if you're patrons, you get priority. So, you know, yeah, do it. Interact. If you're a patron and you're paying for the service, I really have no idea why you're not using it. So, yeah, on to COVID news.
Oh, boy.
COVID news. The CDC, just this past week and weekend, said, oops, did we say 60,000? We meant 37,000 deaths from COVID.
Yeah, that's
lovely. That's not even enough deaths to care about.
Nope.
Oh, and of course, now this independent study work is being done on the fact that cloth masks actually increase the chance for respiratory infection because, of
Weird.
Course, you're breathing shit into a mask that can't, the bacteria that you're exhaling can't get away from your fucking disgusting body. And so it's getting trapped in there, and then you're inhaling that shit back into your body.
And not only that, they're nasty. They don't clean them.
And independent testing fails to stop COVID microns 97% of the time.
Yeah, sounds about right.
97% of the time. So, crazy freaking stuff, man. And but all these fucking idiots are still out there doing their thing.
Yep.
Still messing up the economy and still pretending like... I'm back with the whole thing of no one wants to be duped.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to feel like they're duped. And so, because of that, they're just sticking to their stupid guns. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I still haven't had anyone tell me to put a mask on or wear gloves or anything like that.
We did have that one lady when we went to go pick up our food and beer from Fate. Remember when we were all standing outside and she gave us that disgusting look and she wasn't wearing a mask or her gloves and then we were all talking shit about everything and then she went and put that on?
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah. I think that was the closest. Like, she looked like she wanted to say something, but because there was, like, 10 of us,
way
she said
too many
not
of us.
To. Yeah.
Whatever. Freaking ridiculous.
Yeah.
Freaking ridiculous. In positive news... COVID's stupid, and I'm tired of talking about it. But in positive news here, stand by. My computer is taking a while. Thousands participate in Memorial Parade for Fallen Marine.
Oh, that's nice.
So, you know, just a little while ago, we lost two MARSOC guys, and Gunnery Sergeant Diego Pongo was killed in Iraq last month. And actually in March now.
Mm-hmm.
But despite all this COVID bullshit, right? Because California specifically has been really heavy on COVID, over 1,500 law enforcement vehicles, fire engines, and cars participated, along with a police helicopter flyover, participated with a parade outside the family's home. That's fucking awesome, you know? It's nice when people were just like, we don't care.
Yeah.
We're going to celebrate this, man. You guys can eat a dick.
Yeah.
So there you go. Anyway, just a positive news. Had a very interesting story happen from a student of ours. Now, what's interesting about the stuff we do in training is we get such a variety of feedback. I mean, over the years, we've had everybody from a medical standpoint, people be like, my kid fell off the playground equipment, and instead of panicking, I had the confidence to approach him, do a head-to-toe assessment, right, utilize March, realize nothing was wrong, and then, and because of my confidence, they were confident that I was doing the right thing, I wasn't panicking, I wasn't making the situation worse, other parents were freaking out, but everything was good for me, and I was able to handle my own child efficiently, yeah. All the way up to, no shit, there I was on the side of a mountain putting a tourniquet on my best friend and saving his life. I mean, we've had that variety of stuff, right? The same thing goes with self-defense. We've had everything from, like, there was a knock on the door late at night, and I didn't know who it was, but because of the confidence I had from, you know, doing some training with you guys and other people, I was able to, you know, figure out what the situation was, not be panicked because, you know, it's a single woman or whatever, you know, and get armed and ready just in case, but be able to handle the situation, whereas before I would have been panicking and freaking out. I had the confidence to take care of the situation all the way up to, no shit, there I was. I had to shoot that dude to the ground to stop him.
Yeah.
So we have this wide variety of stories come back to us, and they're all important. And I wouldn't say, you know, any one of them is less or more important. Someone putting a Band-Aid on their kid or someone, you know, putting a tourniquet on someone, yes, overall in the degree of life-saving is very different. But in the quality of someone saying, I have the confidence to get involved and be an asset, that's awesome. So I want to share a story with you guys that came to us from a student last week. And I'm going to read the whole thing, and then I want you guys to think about a couple of things from the story. All right, here we go. I know you like to hear stories about people successfully implementing your training, and I have a small one for you. I didn't shoot anyone or employ any first aid, but I dealt successfully with an unknown contact in an ambiguous situation, and so I thought I'd share it. This happened last night. I was at a gas station in a town in Arizona late at night, so it was well after dark. When I pulled into the otherwise empty station, I immediately noticed a guy standing around near the station's front door. He didn't fit into the scene. One of these things is not like the other, which is the term that we use in training a lot. I registered him, parked at the pump, scanned around, checked my mirrors, got out of my truck, and began working the pump. While getting the gas set up, I kept an eye on the guy, and sure enough, he started walking towards me. As soon as he began walking towards me, while he was still a very good distance away, I stopped messing with the pump, squared up towards him, and stared at him as he approached. He stared back, didn't say anything, but didn't stop approaching. After a few more seconds of this, when he was still a few dozen feet away, I spoke up, used a command voice, and said, "No, thank you." This made him stop walking. He seemed taken aback. He then began stammering something at me. I cut him off and repeated, "No, thank you." He muttered, "Okay," turned and walked away. I scanned all around to look for any other people or threats, saw nothing, went back to pumping my gas, keeping an eye on him the whole time. He stayed across the lot the rest of the time I was there, and I was able to leave without incident. Now I'm going to pause there. We're about halfway through this letter. I want to pause there and I'm going to say this. For a lot of you guys listening, you're like, so what's the big fucking deal? It's because you haven't heard the second part of the letter yet, right?
Yeah.
For a lot of people, this comes naturally. For some people out there in the world, I don't have to train them to do this. No one has to train them to do this. For other people, they do. Not because they're dumb, weak, or anything like that, but because they haven't been exposed to this kind of life, right? So here's the second part that makes the first part important. Because if someone just told me the first part, I'd be like, yeah, fucking good job. It's the second part that really drives home the first part. Mm-hmm. Clearly, this turned out to be a minor situation, and in retrospect, I think it's a low probability, although not impossible, that there was any real danger here. The guy was dressed normally and didn't look homeless. Actually, if he had looked homeless, he might have fit in better. So I can't imagine what he wanted, but considering the entire situation in context, I'm guessing that he was probably benign. Still, this is the first truly ambiguous managing unknown contact situation I've dealt with since taking my first course on the matter last year. And upon reflection, it's notable to me how I was able to directly employ the skills I learned. Your instruction and podcast, etc., got me in the habit of scanning all around my truck before getting out, and in general looking for things out of place, allowing me to identify the guy immediately upon pulling in. More broadly, the training taught me the mindset to immediately accept and deal with the possible threat, rather than get paralyzed, hope everything is okay, and let the guy approach. Here comes the kicker, which is what I suspect I might have done if this happened several years ago. Reflecting on this made me pleased with what I've learned. That's the kicker.
Yep.
Right? Is the fact that some basic concepts can change the entire way that someone might handle a situation like this. This is not special to us. We happen to be a training company, so we reach more people. But if you're listening to this podcast, you're probably not a fucking moron.
Yeah.
Right? And if you're not a moron, then there's a pretty good chance that you can take the same information we just talked about right now in this letter and spread it to the people that you love.
Yep.
How many people in your life don't do what was done here?
Or even have situational awareness.
To look and see the guy before even pulling in. And maybe, depending on the circumstance, go, maybe this isn't the right gas station right now.
Yeah.
Or in this case, the threat was acceptable, right? Threat level was acceptable. But then the person was confronted, then confronted again boldly, and then deterred.
Yeah.
How many people in your life don't have that capability? You have the power to teach these people how to do this. They don't have to come to training with us. Would we love that? Of course. We're good at what we do. But you have that capability to teach people around you as well, right? That's part of what we tell our students all the time in training is we're not just training you. We're empowering you to go train others. We can't reach everybody. We know that.
Yeah.
So get your ass out there and reach, right? Teach the people that you love at least these basic things. Because you never know, the second part, right, that's really important, which is what I suspect I might have done if this happened several years ago. Here's someone who's by their own admittance said, I have advanced up to this certain point. Whereas several years ago, I might not have reacted that way. That's often what we hear when we hear this kind of feedback that, again, is everything from the most basic all the way up to the most lethal.
Yeah.
Here's the last part. I'll close with a few things I could have perhaps done better. I didn't move during the whole encounter, which is often what we see happen, right? And I know if Cecil's listening right now, you know what the problem is. Perhaps the encounter never reached the stage where movement was appropriate since he never got closer than a few dozen feet. But I was still in an enclosed position with the pump to my left, the truck to my right, and the pump hose creating an obstacle in front of me. I recall thinking as he approached that my only escape was backwards, and I don't want to move backwards while he's approaching. But perhaps it'd been right to do just get out of the narrow space. I did move out into the open behind my truck once the gas was pumping after the encounter was over, which is where I normally stand when pumping gas. Additionally, while I did scan around for other threats like his possible buddies, after he started walking away, I could have done this earlier during the encounter as well. More habits to build. This is an excellent letter, and I really appreciate the, number one, the student who wrote it. You're probably listening. You know you're awesome. I know that you're advancing as much as you can outside of even what you're doing with us. You've been working with us and training with us for a long time. You are the kind of person that puts down the time and the energy and the money when needed to get the right tools and get the right skills. So I applaud you for even starting to train. Second of all, utilizing it in the real world. And third of all, thank you for letting us know about it. It can be that quote unquote basic of a situation, but man,
you never know.
You never know what that might have been. And how many people who didn't even see that guy get tagged by that guy?
Yeah.
And maybe it's just a basic panhandle.
Yeah.
Maybe. Maybe it escalates from there. We don't know. Now we don't have to know.
Yeah.
We've removed those variables, which is what good training does. So just some things to consider for you guys. I mean, it may seem basic to some of you, and you're like, duh, I already do that. But have you always, when you were a 16-year-old kid, were you doing that? When you were a 10-year-old kid, were you doing that? Have you really always done it? No, you fucking haven't. At some point in your life, somebody, right, your uncle, your dad, your friend, your mom, right, your sister, your brother, whoever, the military, law enforcement, a training company, a buddy, whatever it was, started you down the path of paying a little bit more attention to things, and over the years you graduated maybe to the point where you're at now, but you didn't start that shit out of the womb, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, we all have that certain caveman intuitiveness, that's sure, and we could get into a whole show about that, but it gets watered down and diluted.
Mm-hmm.
And so for some of you guys, this was not a big story. For others, it was a big story. If it wasn't a big story, or even if it was, I would challenge you to get out there and affect people in your life. Because that is the kind of power you can have. You can really change the way people handle things.
You know, now is even a good time, now that your kids are home, to even, you know, start teaching your kids about situational awareness.
Oh, hell yeah.
You know, start pointing out things to your children as you guys are pulling into a parking lot. And, you know, I'm a big fan of teaching kids young on how to prepare themselves. Especially young girls.
Yeah. Yeah. We had a great weekend of camping.
We did.
Went out, enjoyed the outdoors, and we'll say definitely a couple lessons learned.
Yeah.
Lesson number one, as we finally got everything loaded up and all the people loaded up and the vehicles loaded up and the dogs loaded up, going camping is like a fucking thing, all right?
Especially when you have six kids.
When you have all these kids and the dogs and the two vehicles and all this. So off we go. Freeway's closed because of a fire. We get almost to the fire when they close the freeway. So we got to turn now and go a different direction, different place. Pace. Have backup plans. PACE is an acronym, primary, alternate, contingency, and emergency. PACE everything that you do. For in this situation, it was like, okay, we can't go there. Don't worry. A, I know a second way out of here. And B, I know another place we can go. Mm-hmm. Now we go to that other place and holy shit, was it packed with people. I mean, more people I've ever seen there in my whole life. I've camped there a dozen times maybe and never seen this many people.
Yeah.
So then it's like, no problem. Got a contingency, right? Got that C. All right. So we head to the contingency area and it was perfect. Turned out to be the perfect spot.
Yeah.
Took us a little bit longer to get there, but we got there. Got set up. Kids had a great time. We had a great time. It was beautiful nights, beautiful weather up in northern Arizona. So we escaped the triple digits. But the point is like, pace what you do. It also reminded us why we carry extra food, extra water, right? Take care. We had good comms, right? We're using our radios and we have phones, right? So we have those primary and alternate forms of communication. It reminded us why we keep the fuel tanks topped off,
yeah.
Why we keep our vehicles well-maintained. Right, we had to totally divert and go several hours in the opposite direction of where we had planned to go originally. So, and it was inconvenient and a little annoying, but not that big of a deal. Yeah, the kids were in the car a little bit longer. We were in the car a little bit longer than we wanted to be. But we still got there because we had backup plans.
Yeah.
We didn't have to, oh shit, we just turn around and go home? No way, man. We loaded up all this shit, right? There's no way. We plan on a camp trip. We're freaking going camping.
I did not get that much dog hair in my truck to turn around and go home.
No, we did not fill the truck full of dog hair just to turn around and go home. So, like, it's just a reminder to us of, like, that pace, the pace concept, is pretty damn critically important.
Yeah.
Right? Having a primary and alternate contingency and an emergency part of every plan, whether that's communications, your vehicles, your actual literal freaking plans, right? Whatever it is. Did you get stuck?
Yeah.
Okay. She just stuck herself to the truck. But, yeah, just something to think about.
Mitch says, how many people run out of gas because their first plant was shot?
Yeah. Hell yeah. A lot. And, again, that's why we, you know, freaking stay topped off. The other thing that it reminded me of is once we got out there, how many people we were bumping into. And we actually bumped into this really, really nice lady while we were camping. She came by on her horse, and she let the kids ride the horse. Yeah. And she was very friendly. And as we're hanging out and just having a good time, she was like, oh, are you guys here because you're out of work? And we're like, no, we're just here camping for the weekend.
Yeah.
And she was like, oh, well, there's a lot of people up here out of work. And when we're driving up there, man, there's all kinds of RVs. There's huge, I mean, there's areas where there's multiple people living in a place.
Yeah.
You know, you can tell they're there for the long haul. And so it's like just kind of an interesting situation. I don't know.
It was beautiful, though.
Yeah.
We had a great time.
It was. It was just interesting to see how many more people are there. Oh. I'm hoping after all this bullshit's over, there'll still be that many people going out and enjoying the woods.
Doubt it.
We got more training dates up on the calendar for independence training. Handful more classes. So make sure you guys jump up there. Some more rifle classes, carbine stuff, defensive carbine, field carbine, intro to precision rifle 1 and 2. We still have a lot of stuff coming up and everything still on the schedule is still good to go. So just so you guys know that if you're looking to train with us. John is like still mid-June. So sorry, guys. I'm looking up something else real quick.
He misses you all.
He misses you guys. He is enjoying making some army money, but trust me, he is fucking hating life right now.
He wishes he was here. The last time I talked to him, he said he wished he was here. He
definitely does. So I want to read something that I got off of the great Graham of Insta. And this kind of sums up a little bit how I feel what's going on. And I'm not exempting myself from this. It really follows to a discussion I had with my oldest son as we were driving to this camping spot. And this kind of sums up how I feel about what's going on right now. And I'm not exempting myself from any of this, by the way. After those Michigan folks stormed the freaking Michigan State Capitol.
Oh, I must have missed that.
Armed, body armor, rifles, demanded that the Stay-at-Home Act orders be rescinded.
Mm-hmm. I didn't hear about
it. And they still prolonged them. That's how little our government fears us.
Yeah.
That armed people showed up, forced their way into a government building, and said, rescind this.
And they still went ahead and pushed it. All the way?
They didn't get all the way to the chambers because the chambers were closed. But they didn't want to be violent, right?
Right.
Here's how I feel about everything. Here we go. This was posted on motherfucking greatest is Instagram account.
Oh, yeah, I follow that.
They didn't just change your behavior. They changed your minds. Overnight, you began distrusting your fellow man and began trusting your government to keep you safe. To keep you informed, to trade your liberties for the false sense of security. You allowed your loved ones to die alone in a hospital under the mandate of the greater good. You allowed businesses to shut down and people to give up their paychecks as they huddled in their homes under the mandate of the greater good. There is no greater good than freedom, but they used fear to separate you, to isolate you. You believed it. You allowed it. I also allowed it. I didn't believe it. But I did allow it. There's some weird shit going on. 37,000 deaths, guys. We crushed and destroyed our economy, allowed fear to take people over, shut down small businesses, long-term affected people's lives and their ability to provide for their families, accepted stimulus welfare. And if you think it's anything other than that, you're a fucking idiot. And we did all that for 37,000 deaths.
Yeah.
That may or may not actually be attributed to coronavirus.
Yeah.
Something to think about.
Well, weren't they also investigating the 37,000 as well?
They're investigating everything right now. Yeah. And they being independent parties, the government itself, isn't going to come out and say anything unless they start getting pressure. I was shocked that the CDC said they made a mistake.
Are you, though?
Yeah, I am shocked that the government... I'm not shocked they made a mistake. I'm shocked they said they made a mistake. I'm shocked they didn't just go with the inflated numbers and call it a day.
So as of right now, we have 4,500 confirmed in AZ or Maricopa County and 168
deaths. 168
deaths. In Maricopa County, as of right now...
How about Arizona? It's like 350 or something like that? Look at Arizona, guys.
Arizona's 8,600 confirmed and 362 dead.
How much? 362?
Yeah. Worldwide, we are currently sitting at 3.5 million confirmed, 1.3 million recovered, and 248 deaths worldwide.
There were 82 people killed on the job. Fatal worksite injuries in Arizona in 2018.
Yeah, you know, that's, you know, COVID, man, COVID.
360 people, like that's not, I was just pulling up another number that seemed more realistic.
I'm trying to find that page that I think this was the page that I was freaking unreal last week. Yeah, unreal. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. People are freaking out and they're allowing all this stuff to happen, knowing that stuff's getting pushed through behind our backs and closed doors and everything else. And nobody fucking cares. They're all talking about it.
Because everyone got their stimulus check. They're too busy buying shit.
They're all making their damn memes about it. But it's like, okay, that's wonderful. But.
What we need to do is not an open mic discussion.
Yeah.
Live videos on Instagram and Facebook for independence training folks. If you want to engage with independence training more, we have been and will continue to do live videos, usually every Monday or Tuesday, on Instagram and Facebook. Last week, we did it on... Shoot, I just forgot. Fuck. What did we do on last week? What was our live video on last week?
For independence training. It was the how to the handgun, the basic handgun.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Common handgun errors.
Yeah.
That we see in training based on the fundamentals. I actually go through pretty much the fundamentals how we teach them. Before that, it was carbine optics. Before that, it was body armor, concealed carry. Or no, it was concealed carry for ladies. Drew was in that one. Mm-hmm. And then body armor. There's a lot of different things that we're doing. So, you know, if you guys want to continue to learn more, and it's like we're charging for this. Right?
Yeah.
So if you guys want to get in on it, tonight's is going to be 7 p.m. MST Arizona. So make sure you check that out. It's going to be talking about, what are we doing tonight? Oh, no. Shit. It's a freaking poll right now. It's a poll on Instagram that we'll decide after the show's over.
Let us know what you want Glennie to talk about.
Yeah. What do you want me to chit chat up about? Right now, current poll winner is, oh, man, that's some good stuff. Understanding optics for new long-distance shooters, selecting long-range optics, and setting up a dope book.
That's a good one.
So those are the kind of the two front runners right now that seem to have the most comments.
I just learned about that, which I had no idea it was that in-depth.
Yeah, so we might do that.
Yeah, that anyway. Was fun to learn about.
So yeah, so there you go. All right, shit, we've been rattling on for a while now. Where are we out of time? Holy shit, all right. Redwire gear moment. Redwire gear moment this week. We're going to discuss having high quality outdoor equipment. You know, it seems sometimes like you can go cheap and it's no big deal because you're like, ah, whatever. You know, I'm only going to use it here, only going to use it there. And whether it's a tent or a light or a table or even a freaking camp chair, you're always going to find benefit unless you're considering this piece of equipment disposable. And sometimes we buy that kind of stuff. We consider it like disposable. Like we bought a big room tent this last weekend to kind of be a disposable tent, so to speak. Like, yeah, we'll probably use this a few times and it'll die. It didn't even last 24 hours because one of our dogs decided to try to enter through a not entrance. And he almost made it. But he definitely tore the freaking tent all the way up one side. So it's just... A high-quality tent isn't going to come apart like that.
Yeah.
But a crappy one is. Now, God forbid we had been out there and it had started raining, we'd have been in a bad way. I mean, I'd have been freaking quick fixing a...
Duct tape.
Well, I'd have been hammering a freaking a tarp shelter up behind it so that that spot didn't even get wet. And then we'd had to use some tenacious tape to close that thing up and try to keep it dry. And there's like... It's something to think about, you know, quality equipment.
Probably the funniest thing I've seen all weekend.
Yeah.
It was hilarious.
Given whatever your budget is, always buy the most that you can afford.
Yeah.
You'll never be sad. I've never been in the outdoors and been like, these boots are too comfortable. This pack is too nice.
Yeah.
This raincoat keeps me too dry.
Yeah.
Right? This tent is, you know, too easy to set up, too comfortable. This sleeping bag, too warm, you know, or too comfortable. I have said too warm, but never too comfortable. Right? Like, that's just something to consider as you guys are thinking about gear. So Redwire Gear Moment brought to you by redwiregear.com. All right. Summer prep and how to get your life ready for the hot weather is what we're going to be talking about this week. So first of all, it really breaks down to understanding that everyone's going to have a different series of things that they have to look at for hot summer weather. Some of you guys are going to be hotter than others. Like in Phoenix, our highs are going to peak at 115 to 120.
Yeah.
Right? Other parts I've lived in the country are still dry, and that's with relatively low humidity.
Yeah.
Other parts I've lived within Arizona are, you know, maybe 90, 95-ish in the summertime with almost no humidity. So that's a reality. Other parts I've lived in the country are maybe 95 to 100, so still not really that as hot, but they're, you know, 70% humidity.
Which sucks.
Which is awful, and is going to consider some different options. So we can't cover everything to prepare for from every different climate and ecological level here in one show. Just can't happen.
Yeah.
We're mostly going to be talking about drier environments. So if you live in a place where there's humidity, consider the fact that you are going to have a shorter lifespan for anything consumable, and that anything that you're going to lock up airtight, you better put some desiccant in with, because you will also be locking moisture in there. Mm-hmm. And if you lock moisture in an airtight container, guess what?
It ruins it.
Whatever's in there is fucked. That's ammo, extra supplies, food, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
So make sure that you're adding desiccant, right? And get a lot of that. That's an emergency prep you should have, or whatever your good option is for that. Yeah. There may be better options for that. So we're going to kind of start generally and say prepping your body. I think, and a lot of this is just based on our experience here. For me, probably one of the most important things to prep your body is acclimation.
Yeah.
Get
outside.
Outside.
Yep.
The more you spend in deep air conditioning at 72 degrees, the less you're going to be ready for any activity outside. It's easier for me to go out into a hot environment and work and hike and run and do whatever than maybe some other folks, because I work outside a lot. So I'm already outside. But if you work in a cubicle, you even more in our office or inside, or you drive in a car or whatever it may be, where you're kind of just bouncing from AC to AC, you need to get out and acclimate yourself to being in a hot environment. Your body needs to do that.
Think of how many people, if Corona was actually a real pandemic, how many people would be fucked right now if, say, this shit got worse and all of a sudden people are homeless and everything else, and now they have to live outside after they've been living in AC. You're not going to last very long.
Anytime, you know, power goes out in the summertime in Phoenix, there's always deaths. And it's unfortunately normally the elderly, but it's not always just the elderly. And if it's not deaths, it's uncomfortable for people because they're not taking the time to acclimate themselves.
Yeah, gotta remember, like, we're still native Arizonans. Mm-hmm. You still need to get out there and acclimate yourself. Even though we live here, mm-hmm. a lot of the people spend their time in a pool or in the AC.
And when you think back to, like, native peoples and how they used to acclimate, they weren't out in the heat of the day working. They weren't doing that. So when people are like, how did the native peoples just, like, well, they were smarter than this. Their buildings were built entirely differently. They were built to maximize the potential for natural cooling or natural heating in the wintertime. They were built to maximize wind flow. They were built to, you know, they timed their schedule of day according to what the weather was doing. It's really hot outside. They're working in the earlier hours and the later hours. Yeah. And in the dark hours. They're not going to work in the middle of the freaking daytime. We do that. Yeah. So because we're doing that, we have to prep our bodies. You got to acclimate.
Yep.
You got to freaking double down on hydration.
Oh, my gosh. Hydration is so important. So incredibly important.
That means every morning, every afternoon, every evening, you need to be consistently drinking water, which means you need to carry water with you. You should have a water bottle. You should damn near be attached to your hip.
And you should have a spare one in your vehicle, too. And if you guys, if there's people out there that have a really hard time with their water and they're not, like, held accountable for it, and they're just like, oh, yeah, I keep forgetting. I use an app on my phone that it's called Hydration, and it's a free app, and it sends you reminders like, hey, time to drink water. And you can also record, like, your water intake. Since we do a lot of outdoor activities, especially running, I want to make sure that I am consuming all of the water that I'm supposed to be. And I am not very good at drinking water, so the app really, you know, kind of reminds me, like, hey, it's time to drink water. You haven't drank water in a while. I upload all of my stuff. It sounds kind of annoying, but, I mean, it helps me keep track of where I'm at for my water intake. It's a great app, Hydration. There's tons of water apps. Mm. You know, they send you little notifications like, hey, drink some water, drink some water.
And sometimes, and it's totally okay if you have to be reminded, because sometimes people need that.
Yeah,
they need to be reminded.
Yeah.
Drink some freaking water, you know? Yeah. It's so easy to get dehydrated, especially in these incredibly hot days. So stay hydrated and look at rehydration elements and additives.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's NUN or noon. I don't know which, I don't know how to say it. N-U-N, right? N-U-U-N?
Or is it N-U-N-N?
I don't remember. Anyways, that shit is good. Drip Drop is probably one of the best ones on the market right now. I think Drip Drop is probably the best.
Yeah.
It's relatively new to the market as far as I know. You know, and by relatively new, I mean, you know, a couple years or less or so. But it's really, really freaking good stuff. You know, but that's a great capability to be able to add those kinds of things into your drinking water so that, one, you're getting more out of your drinking water, and, two, you're not getting bored of drinking water. I get bored of drinking water.
Yeah.
So I like to throw that, or I'll throw a little, you know, sugary lemonade mix in there sometimes, yeah. or something. Like, I got to have something more than just water sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, so, and that's okay. And I'm not talking about necessarily in one day, but, like, if I'm out training or whatever and I'm just drinking, like, 2 gallons. I mean, I'm not out there. I'll easily drink 2 gallons of water. And it's like, if I'm just drinking and drinking and drinking, dude, I get tired of drinking water.
Yeah.
So adding some flavor in there definitely helps.
I also think there's a right way and a wrong way to drink water. You have to consistently drink water throughout the day. You can't just go grab something and start chugging it, because then you're just going to flood your system and then pee it all right out.
Yep, absolutely right.
So you need to be monitoring it, so you wake up in the morning and you're drinking water. Mm. And even at night, like, have a cup of water by your bed. Like, that's what I do. I drink water. I go through probably 2 or 3 glasses at night. I'll wake up and go fill my water and drink, and just because I always get thirsty. But you notice... If for people who don't really hydrate very well and they're like, yeah, well, that's probably something I should be doing, the benefits of hydrating is huge. Like, you're more awake, you're a little bit more alert, your metabolism is faster, you speed up your metabolism with your hydration, your skin looks better. There's a lot of benefits to drinking water, besides, you know, just staying alive. There's that too.
So the interesting thing is, a lot of various different studies I've read over the years often claim that over 70% of the U.S. population is chronically dehydrated.
Oh, I guarantee it.
People mistake, you know, thirst for hunger. They're constantly thirsty. They don't drink enough water. They're always drinking other liquids, hoping to get water out of coffee, water out of soda, yeah. water out of beer, et cetera, et cetera. And it's like, if you're not intaking water, there is no replacement for water.
Correct.
If you're not intaking water, you're damaging your body's overall capability.
Yeah.
It's like, if you're not getting enough sleep, and some people are like, I don't get a lot of sleep, but I'm still powering through the day. And it's like, yeah, but you're probably not maximizing your possibility. It's the same thing with hydration.
Yeah.
Because you need hydration for physical activity, mental activity, everything. Everything you do requires water. There's nothing that happens in your body that does not require water. Digestion, to your brain activity, to your blood flow, obviously,
yeah.
Your muscular use, everything. Everything, joint lubrication, everything needs water. So constantly be hydrating. So that's going to be a big thing, I would say, overall for the body, in addition to just getting out there and acclimating to hotter weather.
Yep.
We can't spend all day on that, so we're going to move on to clothes.
Don't forget sunscreen.
Yes. Sure. Sunscreen, folks, wear it. Like that song that came out when I was in high school. Wear sunscreen.
And you remember, never do.
Remember that one? I don't say never. I do wear sunscreen.
When I yell. And none of the guys wear it.
I remember it. Sometimes I even remind them. And we all put it on together in a big fucking stupid sunscreen orgy. All right? We do sometimes remember sunscreen. I do have it in my bag.
So I know. And you never put it on.
I don't never put it on. I do put it on, just not a lot. But I do put it on. But yes, sunscreen is important.
It is.
That way I can get cancer from that. I don't want cancer from the sun. I want cancer from some unnatural shit. The clothes you wear are important. And for me, I pretty much dress the same all year long.
You do.
Pants and a t-shirt, like my life.
Yeah.
Right? A lot of times people go, well, how are you like that? How are you not hot? And I go like this. Well, look at all the people who are in the outdoors. I mean, seriously, for a second.
They're usually all long sleeves.
Look at cowboys.
Yeah, long sleeves.
They kind of knew a little bit of something about living out of a saddlebag.
Yeah.
Long sleeve shirts, bandanas, big hats, pants, boots. Look at the Bedouin people. Mm-hmm. Silk undergarments, big, giant, bulky robes, built-in evaporative coolers.
Yep.
Right? Look at the construction workers working outside.
Yeah. They're all long sleeves.
Long sleeves.
Long pants.
Pants. Big hats. Bandanas. Big hats.
Yeah.
Keep the sun off your skin and you'll be less hot. Look, there are 5 heat loss and gain mechanisms. All right? I'm going to describe them to you very briefly, and it'll help you understand why clothing is a thing. And this works for all the survival shit. Same stuff we teach in survival. Heat loss and gain. So this is how to get rid of heat and how to get it back depending on what you're trying to do. 1, radiation. All right? That's radiant heat. Heat that's coming off your body and being radiated back to you, or heat that's directly radiating down onto you from exposure, right?
Yeah.
So in other words, the sun on my skin is hotter than the sun on my shirt.
Yeah.
Right? So radiation. Respiration, all right? Breathing is a heat gain and loss mechanism. Perspiration, sweating, is a heat gain and loss mechanism, right? Convection, sweating, and the wind blowing across you, or airflow across you, is a heat gain and loss mechanism. And lastly, conduction. Touching something hot will heat you up. Something touching something cold will cool you off, etc. You have three primary heat vents. That's the V-notch of your neck, your armpits, and the V-notch of your groin. That is where there's the least amount of muscle, bone, and tissue, because that's where all of our limbs and head articulate. It's also where the arteries are the closest to the surface before they bear themselves into our muscle groups. So when you look at heat loss and gain, you understand how that works. Clothes will start to make more sense.
Yeah.
Loose-fitting clothes are going to be better than tight clothes, right? Moisture-wicking clothes are going to be better than cotton, mm-hmm. right? Long sleeves and pants are going to be better than a freaking whatever. What do they call it? Like a wife beater, tank top, and shorts. Right? Doesn't mean I don't get down to you know smaller clothes sometimes and wear shorts and a you know I never wear a tank top, but like you know a smaller t-shirt and you know freaking shorts and sandals or whatever. Yeah, man. If I'm hitting the lake or going to the pool or just hanging out in the backyard or something like that. Yeah, man. I'm going to be a little more relaxed but if I expect prolonged exposure to the sun, I'm going to cover up my skin. It's just, you do what you want. I'm just like over here with science and history and shit. That's all. Right? But you do what you want. And so when you understand this, when people are like, what about my tan? I'm like, tan? I don't give a fuck about a tan.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? People make fun of my farmer's tan all the time. I'm like, I don't care.
I think that's more ladies that are concerned about their tan.
I don't know. I know a lot of fucking fruity dudes who are pretty concerned about their tans.
Dobson. I love you, Dobson.
some of these guys, some of our guys are definitely a little more fruity than I am.
I'd say Dobson and Brandon.
I don't know. I think James would probably be pretty concerned about his tan.
Yeah.
James would be
definitely Ben too. I feel like Ben would soak up the rain.
Ben's probably concerned about his tan. We could really call him guys out. Sorry, guys. I love you. I love you, but I don't know what's wrong with you. All right. These are all single guys though, so I guess that's okay.
Well, Matt's not.
They want to. I guess that's true. Yeah,
Matt's not.
That's maybe why he's not as concerned about his tan anymore.
Yeah.
You know? Maybe. You don't have to, he doesn't have to drag in the ladies. Yeah. You still need to be impressing the lady, and you know who I'm talking about. You ever stop impressing your lady, that's the day you lose her.
You impress me every day, honey.
Thanks, babe. I appreciate that. So clothes are going to be a big deal. The materials that they're made out of are a big deal. Yeah. Earlier with Redwire Gear, a moment, I was talking about like spending good money. I will say the same thing about clothes. Spend good money. I'm never like, this underwear, too comfortable. These socks, too moisture wicking. Like, think about your feet. Yeah. I grew up wearing cotton socks. I played baseball. I hunted. I hiked. I was an outdoors kid all the time. I had a lot of foot problems when I was a kid. I had a lot of athlete's foot. I had problems just with my feet generally, stinking, stuff like that, right? And I'd rotate my shoes to no fucking avail, man. You know what I mean? I mean, I learned how to do that as a kid, but it was like, it didn't work. Then, as I got older, I kind of grew out of some of that. I mean, some of that just kind of being a kid and puberty and all that kind of stuff. But even into my you know early 20s, I still have problems with my feet. As soon as I started wearing wool socks, and I wear wool socks every single day of my life, ever since I started wearing wool socks, all those problems have gone away. Yeah. Sometimes my feet dry out a little bit now just with the change in the weather. And I just got to make sure that, you know, they're put some lotion on and keep them, you know, ready to go so they don't crack. But like, yeah. You're paying $20 for a pair of socks.
Yeah.
Yes, it is more expensive than $20 for a 10-pack.
Yeah.
But it's gonna make up all the difference in the world. You know, the Saks freaking boxers that I wear, right? SAXX Saks, yeah. Right? Yeah, they're $35 a pair or something like that. Yes, it's more expensive than $30 for a 3-pack of freaking whatever. But I'm telling you, they make a freaking difference.
And they make great stocking stuffers.
And they're awesome as stocking stuffers. You know, when you look at undershirts, moisture wicking, a lot of people ask me, like, well, why do you always wear an undershirt? It's like, part of the reason is because I don't like my gun against my skin. Mm-hmm. But I've always worn an undershirt, even under a normal t-shirt, because it wicks the moisture away from my skin and it keeps me cooler. If I wear just a straight t-shirt, I'm always hotter. Always hotter. People are like, oh, you have two shirts on instead of one. It's like, yeah, but the base layer is wicking the moisture away from my body, allowing some evaporative function through convection. Right? I'm cooling off because the moisture is wicked away from my body and on my body, just like a nice little evap cooler inside my shirt. You know, there's a reason that these clothes are worn the way that they're worn. I learned that from old cowboys.
Yeah.
That's who I grew up with, was old cowboys and old mountain men. Those are the people I grew up with. They taught me this way of doing things that works. I mean, it works, right? Same thing with footwear. Footwear is important. You got to rotate your footwear in the summertime. I always recommend to people that they have two identical pairs of footwear anyway. Like, if you really like a pair of shoes and you can afford it, get another pair of those exact same shoes. First of all, because the damn company's probably going to change fucking design next year and screw you out of a comfortable pair of shoes. But second of all, now I can constantly be rotating shoes. Now I'm not wearing the same shoes every freaking day.
Yeah.
You know, I'm letting them at least air out, dry out, avoids stink, avoids bacteria. And when you're sweating a lot like we're doing in the summertime, that's a big deal. Wintertime, you're not going to notice it as much. Summertime, it's coming, man, especially in humid environments.
Yeah.
Anything else you can think of really for clothes and footwear? I mean, hats and stuff like that. To me, I've always been a ball cap wearer, you know. My hairline shows you that I've always been a ball cap wearer. I've worn a ball cap since I was a tiny little kid.
Yeah.
But other people aren't as big into wearing hats. That's fine, but again, exposure to the sun is going to heat your head up.
Yeah.
So when you can, wear a hat.
Absolutely.
Anything we missed on clothes, footwear? And as we're doing this, real quick, as we're doing this, if you guys have some feedback or input where you're like, no, I don't agree with that, or, oh, shit, they forgot to say this, freaking put it in the comments if you're on Facebook, or if you're listening afterwards, hit us up with an email, info@trainingaz.com, and we'll make sure to share it next week.
Yeah. What I would say sunglasses. Make sure you're wearing proper sunglasses, too.
Sunglasses. Protect those eyeballs, man. Yeah. They're just as susceptible to UV radiation as every other part of your body.
And you only have the only set, so it's not like you can get new eyeballs.
Can't get new eyeballs.
And you can't do fun stuff.
Yep. Yeah, that's true enough. All right, let's move on to your vehicle.
Okay.
Boy, we could go all day. But I'm going to talk about some of the things that I think you see the biggest problem with. Number one, anything rubber.
Yeah.
Tires, door seals, mostly tires and windshield wipers.
Yes.
But look at your door seals and things like that. They don't get exposed to the sun as much because of the door. But make sure they're not overly cracked because then they'll break and then they'll let water in if it rains. So make sure you're checking your tires. If they're cracked or they're looking cracked, especially on the sidewall, get rid of them, man. The heat's going to destroy them. It's going to put your ass on the side of the road one day. And even worse, if that you get tread separation, you're going to break shit on your car. So, you know, make sure that you are checking your tires, getting them rotated, having them, you know, check your tread depth, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Make sure you're checking windshield wipers. You don't want to be in the middle of a freaking storm.
Because, again, we have monsoon season coming pretty soon, and a lot of people don't, I mean, I think we replace on the white truck. We probably replace those every year.
If you're not replacing, I don't care what brand, and I have this on account from every mechanic I've ever known. It doesn't matter what brand or what quality of windshield wipers you have, you will replace them every year.
Yeah, yeah.
At the beginning of the summer, you should be replacing your windshield wipers. Or the beginning of the winter. Some of them, I've gotten various different bits of advice, but mostly because in Arizona, because of the monsoons people say, dude, put them in, you know, replace them in the beginning of the summer.
And then you're stuck in a monsoon and you can't see.
Yep, and your windshield wipers have come apart.
Yeah.
And now you can't go because it's like metal on your windshield and you don't want to do that.
Yeah.
And now you're driving blind or pulling over and waiting for the monsoon to pass, which could be whoever knows how long.
You know, one thing you can also do is spray your windshield with that water resistant.
Yeah.
That's what Ryan does. He sprays the windshield so the water just beads off.
Oh, that's interesting.
And then he uses the windshield wipers because back in the day he used to have a Lowrider S10 that he took the windshield wipers off.
Oh, so it would look more sleek.
Yeah. So he's done that nifty trick, I think, ever since. But, I mean, that's a good idea, and that's how you re-waterproof your shoes, you know, spray your shoes. That's a good tip, too. Remember, if you have waterproof boots, hiking boots, re-spray those, you know?
And make sure that you're checking what's going on with your vehicle's fluids.
Yeah.
You know? And look what the manufacturer recommends for your year, your brand, your model. Like, if they recommend flushing your transmission or flushing especially your engine coolant, you know, at so many thousand miles, it's time to do it. Do it now when it's starting to get hot. Don't try to think about doing that in June or July when everyone else is doing it and it's going to be days before you can get an appointment and then you're hosed.
Yeah.
You know, so make sure that you're doing it now when you can get in and freaking do it. That's a big deal, is to make sure you get the things done now that you can get done. Check your fluids. I think that's really important. Check your battery. Go down to, you know, AutoZone or O'Reilly's or Napa or whoever you have in your area and have them hook up a battery tester to your battery.
Yeah.
And just make sure that all the levels are good. It's good to replace the battery now, again, before it leaves you stuck somewhere.
And make sure you have a backup. Like, we have that little recharger battery pack thing that we jumpers. Carry. Yeah, that's awesome, especially if you're going to be by yourself, if you're out, you know, on a hike or something like that, trying to escape the heat, and all of a sudden you're isolated and your vehicle's dead. Again, there's millions of ways that you can prep a vehicle, especially during summer where people don't really realize how extreme heat is. And then your vehicle breaks down and you're on the side of the road and you have an oh shit moment.
Other things I would say to prep your vehicle for hot weather would be one big one is going to be make sure you have something in your vehicle to separate yourself from hot asphalt and concrete.
Yes, absolutely.
Because if you find yourself replacing a tire or fixing your vehicle on the side of the road, the last thing you want to do is be laying down on asphalt or concrete. It will fuck you up.
Yep.
So a piece of carpet, I've used a rubber mat out of the back seat. Certainly that's easy. Just yank them out of the freaking floorboard and that'll keep you isolated well enough.
Yeah.
But a blanket, throw a piece of carpet in the back of your truck, whatever it is, but have something like that. Also, make sure you have some way to make a shelter, like a tarp or something like that. Because sitting in a vehicle
is going to get hot real fast.
In 110, 115 degrees is actually hotter than taking the kids out or you know your own self out or whatever and being on the side of the road. So if you can have like a little shelter, just a tarp even, that'll just give you some protection from the sun.
Or if you have how we have the Whoopi in mine, you know, tie it up, tie it to a tree with some strings and you got little
stake it into the ground, make yourself a little lean-to. Something's going to keep you out of the freaking sun.
That's important.
And make sure you carry lots of water in your vehicle.
Tons.
People do not carry enough. I mean, 1 gallon would be the minimum I would carry. I always make sure I've got a couple of gallons in my truck.
And be careful with it in the plastic because the plastic gets heated and then all that crap gets into your water from the plastic.
That definitely is a problem, but I think as long as you're rotating it, you're okay. You know what I mean? Like ours gets rotated enough. Like we each carry 1 gallon
but we go
in plastic.
That
That's what I'm saying. We're rotating it a lot. But then we've also got our Hydro Flask and we've got backup Hydro Flask. When you leave the house, make sure everyone leaves the house with a water bottle.
Yes.
Every single person that gets into your vehicle. I mean, literally, I'll go out with my buddies. I'm like, you got a water bottle? And they're like, no. I'm like, get a fucking water bottle.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't care if you grab one of the ones out of the freaking garage, out of the Arrowhead thing, and a disposable one. I don't care. I'll get you a Hydro Flask. I got a couple extra ones. Like,
prep your kids.
We'll make sure. Yeah. Because now you're making sure that, hey, if we get a bad situation, at least this every individual has some starting water.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, all of our kids have Hydro Flasks. We make them carry it with them everywhere they go.
One of the things that I'll do in the summertime at classes, I've got a small it's not a Yeti. It's one of the Arizona brand that now I just totally freaking slipped my mind. But it's a smaller
cooler.
What's that?
The Canyon.
It's a Canyon cooler. Thank you. And I'll throw in a couple of polar sheets from North American Rescue, about 4 ice packs, and then like actual cold ice packs for injuries and stuff, or cooling someone off, and then a whole bunch of water, and then some actual ice. And when I'm going to classes, I cart that thing around.
Yep.
Because now I can very quickly cool someone down. Every year, we don't stop training.
Yeah.
For hot weather. So every year we have a student damn near go down at least once because of heat-related injuries because they're not self-regulating. We keep an eye on them. We see that start to happen. We jump on it and handle it. But it happens fast, man. It happens really fast. So make sure that you have ways also to treat heat-related injuries inside your vehicle. You may encounter that yourself or someone else. So house. Let's move on to house because we keep on any of these for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
So your house. Like with the vehicle, schedule air conditioning checks now.
Yep.
Schedule pool management checks now. Schedule whatever your house needs to stay cool or your pool needs to stay operational. Get those maintenance folks out to your house now.
Yep.
Have them do the checks now. Replace the worn or almost need to be repaired parts now, assuming you can afford it or at least you can start to plan for it in your budget. But start to make sure you're checking stuff now. Look at other sources. Like one of the things we added to our house this year that I had in my old office last year was a little portable wheel around the house evap cooler. We got one of the really nice ones that I used at my office last year, pulled it into the house this year. Holy shit, does that thing make a difference. Even if it's just on fan mode, it makes a huge difference. And then the fact that you can add it on a cool mode and have it actually work as an evap cooler, wow, what a freaking difference that makes. You can totally cool down an entire, large living room with that. Mm-hmm. Helps the dog stay cool, helps the kids stay cool, helps us stay cool. And if you want it in another room, you just wheel it in there. Mm-hmm. Is it the most attractive thing in the world? Probably not. I mean, it's not ugly. It's just a white rolling box, you know. It doesn't look like an industrial piece of equipment. It's made to be in a home. But floor fans, ceiling fans, all those things, if you don't have them, install them. Guys, especially, or single ladies, all right? You absolutely have the capability with the most basic of tools and reading the instructions to install ceiling fans in every room in your house.
Yeah.
You do not need a lot of special skills to install ceiling fans.
Yep.
If you have a light, you can install a ceiling fan. Now, if you need to wire the light, all right, you got to call an electrician in for that. But if you have a light, you can install a freaking ceiling fan. All right, get on that. Use floor fans. Use things that are going to help circulate cool air in your house. Make the most of your air conditioning unit. And you'll be cooler. You let that thing just sit there and crank, all you're going to do is drive your bill up if you're not otherwise circulating the cool air around the room. So make sure you're prepping that. Make sure you're not losing that cold air. Check the weather stripping in your doors. Check your windows. If you've been thinking about upgrading your windows, now's a good time. Add a heat shield or sun shields to your windows.
Say, if you can't, you know, update your windows, they make those things that you can apply to the window. It's kind of like tinting your windows for home to help keep it cool, because I think that's Arizona. I think a lot of people in Arizona lose a lot of, you know, coolness because of their windows are so outdated.
Mm-hmm. So to move on past house, because again, we could keep going with that for a while, but just kind of get some general ideas out there to get people thinking. Your schedule. Change potentially, you can't change your work schedule all the time or even your recreational schedule, but start looking at changing what you can change.
Yeah.
If you can be more active at cooler parts of the day, work out, run, hike, whatever it is, do that. Start to be more active during cooler parts of the day. Try to go out less during the hotter parts of the day. Use less of your fuel, use less of your vehicle's AC, you know, super cool your house at night. Yeah, it's going to get a little chilly, but it's been shown to work, man. Get that sucker down to freaking 68, 70 degrees if you can, at least in the rooms you're staying in the most. Cool those rooms down and then try to maintain them cool so that when it starts to heat up, especially for any of you guys who may be on some kind of electrical use plan where it, you know, the prices are going to go up during peak hours, then you can shut your air conditioning off during those hours and allow that super cooling to work.
Yeah. And I would look into your plans. That just reminded me, we have that
the flex plan, or they call it.
I can't remember what it is, but you pay the same flat rate, and it changes based off of 6 month usage of history, whatever. But we can keep it as cool or as hot as we want to, which helps. And that's another way that you can not only save money but help with preparing. Is if you're worried about having really high expensive bills, that might be something to think about. Ask your local provider if they have a plan such. We have SRP and they have it, and it's great. We pay one flat rate. Yeah, sometimes it's higher, but when we don't have the AC or the heat on and everything's shut off, our bill's like $90.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll stay that way for a couple months.
Look at kind of two more things I want to talk about before we wrap up the show. One of them is going to be food storage and other perishables.
Mm-hmm.
If they're exposed to high heat, you got to look at that. Like, food in your vehicle is over. It's summertime. Yeah. Get food out of your vehicle. If you're stuck, like, oh, I keep this MRE in my back seat. Not anymore, you don't.
Yep.
Unless you're rotating it out every freaking week, because that thing's going to get destroyed in the extreme heats. Look at other perishables, like, you know, the gloves in your med kits. Those things are going to freaking start to deteriorate.
Yeah.
The emergency blankets in your med kits. Look inside your vehicle. Look inside any place where it's going to be an active heat environment, your garages, things like that. Consider, is this stuff going to survive these very hot environments?
Yeah.
And if it's not, it's time to rotate it someplace cooler. Maybe it's time to get rid of it. You may have to end up throwing some stuff away or using some stuff right now or whatever. That's also the second thing I want to talk about, is the things exposed to the sun. Look outside at what's exposed to the sun. Plastic goods.
Gone.
Recreational tools, toys, kids' toys. Keep them away from sun fade, which leads to sun rot. Keep them out of that kind of stuff by creating new habits that get you and your kids bringing that kind of stuff under shade. Or start looking at building shades.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all those cool tarp shades are pretty cost effective nowadays.
Yeah.
and really, really easy to put up. You need a couple poles cemented into the ground, some big, strong bolts, stretch those tarp, boom, shade. You can shade a table. You can shade a lot of things. And a little bit of shade goes a long way in the hot-ass sun. So start considering the things that are going to be exposed to sun or really hot environments and whether or not they're going to survive the heat. So overall, hopefully this has given you guys some ideas on what you want to, you know, start thinking about. But overall, think about how's your body need to be prepped? How's your vehicle? How's your home? How's your life? How's the people around you, your kids, your family, your friends, people that you spend time with? How's everybody going to need to get prepped for these now hotter months? So just remember that. Be thinking about it. If you got some ideas for us that you want us to share with the other listeners, send us a message, info@trainingaz.com. If you're watching on Facebook or whatever, and you think we totally screwed up and missed something, drop it on here. You know, one of our guys just popped on here and said, I have something called a wet towel. It's a towel kind of cloth made of a special material. You soak it, put it around your neck, and it really makes you feel cool. Yeah, because that's on a heat vent, right? I've used those things in training before. You soak them in water, and what's really cool is you kind of freeze them a little bit afterwards, put them in your cooler, get them nice and cold. Wrap that thing around your neck. Again, that's a heat vent. It's going to help cool off your core. So that's a great way to keep yourself cool. You know, little tips like that, like we talked about at the beginning of the show, share these things with the people you know. Help the people you know stay cool this summer as well. All right, you guys, you can bring us out to train with you. Remember, get hosting information and how to host our programs in your area. info@trainingaz.com is our email address. Remember to follow us on Facebook and Instagram as The Arms Room Show, Independence Training, and Red Wire Gear. Remember that at both Independence Training and Red Wire Gear, there are coronavirus discounts available. We're still doing the Corona and Lime, all caps, one word, 30% tuition reduction over Independence Training for all of our programs. And John is still doing, I believe it's Beer Flu, all caps.
Yeah.
For a discount at his place as well, so at Red Wire Gear. So make sure you're still utilizing those things because they are still available. We're proud members of the Heroes Media Group. Check out the other shows that are on the network. A lot of good stuff out there. Next week, we're going to be discussing a listener-requested show here. Weapon lights and proper selection, pros and cons of them. Also considering things like vision issues, ceilings, walls, internal versus outdoor use, things of that nature, specifically to weapon lights. We've talked about handheld lights before, but we're going to be specifically talking about and bringing in some examples of really good weapon lights and talking about where they're advantageous and not advantageous. Until next time, stay aware, stay safe, and train hard. You've been listening to The Arms Room.